Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard. I don't know how your day's going. We're going to try not to mess it up for you. How about that?
We'll do our best.
That sounds good.
Our gift to you. Of course, Dr. Dave Stoop and I, we've edited that Life Recovery Bible. And if you know anybody that's recovering, what a great Mother's Day or Father's Day gift. And I got to tell you, I've got an amazing mom. And not only is Mother's Day coming up, but that 92nd birthday is just around the corner. And man, is she in good shape for any age. But I'm so proud of her and what she's done. She's a cancer survivor, lost a son early in life, a widow. She just keeps going. She's like the Energizer Grand Bunny. Well, I don't know if that works. But anyway, love you, Mom, and I know you're going to have a happy Mother's Day, and hope so. If you want to join us, well, we've got all the calls lined up. You could call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the place to call, and you could get some help. And I'm going right to the phones, guys. Here we go with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop. Let's go to Bob, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listens on WFIL. Bob, how are you?
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Hello, you there?
Yes, we are.
Okay, are we on the radio now?
You are. You're live. Well, yeah, it's Thursday. It's a tape program, but you're on. I mean, when you hear this, you'll be on.
Okay. I can hear it on my radio. But anyway, this is quite a story here. I tell you, it's hard to summarize, but I'll try. I've been sober for 19 years from drugs and alcohol, and I try to help a lot of people lately.
How'd you do that? How'd you do it? How'd you stay sober 19 years?
It all started from when I was doing 2 years in jail for my fourth DUI, and I just said, God, please take my whole life and do anything you want with it and just keep me sober, and my life is yours. Mm-hmm. And I got out of there and just started going to AA and, you know, and doing anything I have to do. Just it was really, really hard at first, and, you know, after a while it gets a little easier, and then my life got just great. Traveled all over the world, spent months of time in other countries. Everything was just awesome. And then I started going through some trials, I tell you, something. I tell you, these difficult things I go through always seem to have some kind of a spiritual aspect to them. I guess all of life does. Okay. But anyways, this thing what I'm going through now is a bunch of people have been dying from overdosing on shooting dope. And the last one that I knew was a guy I used to give rides to, and that was one of the first bodies I saw. It was a 26-year-old new father with the baby just a few months old and stone dead. One day, perfectly healthy and fine, clean and sober. That's what happens a lot. They when they relapse, the first shot they take kills them because their tolerance is down. But after that, then I actually started going to church every day. I started this little practice of, I'd go in there at like 5 o'clock in the morning and just kneel at the altar and just, you know, ask God to please, you know, help us down here with this epidemic. And it seemed almost like providence. Then after that, I met this couple right in my neighborhood. Young couple in their 20s, just totally life just completely messed up, and they're separated from their children and not sure if they're going to even be able to keep their house and everything, and just a wreck. And I just devoted myself entirely, every way, you know, financially, spiritually, all my time, everything. I just just gave everything I have and put out, I dedicated my life to trying to help this family make it. And it was miraculous. They went from telling me in the beginning, like, oh my
All
God.
Right, hold on. We'll hear the rest after this.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Dave Stoop, talking about... Okay, Bob, so how can we help you here? You helped a family, and did they turn on you or something?
Try to get to the point of it. Try to get to the point of it here real quick as possible. After their life being just completely, miraculously, you know, transformed, everything about it being, they tell me we got peace greater than we've ever known before in my life, then they suddenly turned on me. This weird guy had come around, I know, and started, other people even warned me about this guy and told me he was like telling a bunch of lies to the mom and all this stuff, and then so they just turned on me, kicked me out of the picture, and then months went by. I just keep praying, and I get this weird message, this disillusional message about how everything you ever did for us was nothing but selfish and we never was comfortable around you and stuff. And I mean, it was just totally, I'm like, who wrote this? And I thought that maybe this is either not her or something dramatically has happened to her. I ran it past somebody, actually a cop. I just talked to the cops in the Wawa over coffee sometimes. This guy sounded like he knew exactly what he was talking about. He did, without question, he said that person has been brainwashed. And he said, that's what they do. They go into their... And this guy, and a little bit that I read about it, everything
All right,
falls
so
right
we
in line.
We understand the dynamic here. Now, tell us what you want us to help you with.
Oh, God. How can I help unbrainwash this person, you know? Because it's dangerous thing, you know, from what this person had told me that dealt with it before. I said, was it dangerous? He said it's very difficult to deal with because they'll just think that they say they're okay no matter what's going on. They actually think they're okay. Their mind isn't even their own.
Did the police officer mention to you that there probably isn't anything that you can do because this person, if they're being brainwashed or unduly influenced, they're under the influence of the other person, and so you just have to ride out the storm, because usually people like that, eventually it comes to light that they are not acting in the best interest of that person. But for you to continue to try to intervene here and justify what you've done, probably going to make things worse rather than better. That would be my guess.
Well,
Dave, Jill,
and they have too much to lose, right?
Yeah.
You're an outsider to their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
For them to not buy into the lie means that they would lose everything.
Yeah.
Right? So a person will convince themselves that someone is good and will buy into their worldview in order to preserve themselves, and so I think the most you can do.
This is more like somebody being exploited by. I think the same like sort of door I went in and other people to encourage and uplift and get these people to the great place they were in was exploited by a very devious, evil person to put lies and garbage in there.
Yeah. Or by somebody outside of them?
Okay, so here's the thing.
You told us a great story of how you surrendered your addiction. And I think that is going to be the route here that's going to help you maintain sanity and get you through it. Dave, what are your thoughts?
And all you can do really, Bob, is pray for that couple. Pray for protection. Yeah, pray for insight. Because you can't do anything overtly or directly because they're under, like Jill said, they're under the influence of that other guy.
Yeah.
But God can do something.
I can't just leave him. Like I can't. I cannot just leave.
Oh. You have to leave him alone.
Okay, yeah, but you can make a statement. You can write to them and say, "I'm sorry that you know you are hearing things about me that are not true, and I tell you from the bottom of my heart, I care about you guys, and I." You know,
I'm always here for you.
Yeah, and I helped you from complete sincerity, and I hope someday you'll see that.
Yeah, and then you wait for them to, hopefully they'll wake up, and then you will be there.
They'll wake up at some point.
Right, and they will respect you more, and it's more likely they'll come to you then if you pull away than if you're continuing to try to jump in there and there really isn't anything you're going to do that's going to impact them if they're being influenced by this outsider who really is a user. And
you know,
I'm so sorry you're going through
this. I know. It's really hard. You know, unless there's a community, like you're part of a church community and you can pull a pastor in, or there's something that ties you all together, otherwise it's harder to intervene.
Okay, I'm glad you called. Hold on. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I hope that'll help you. And I don't know if you have a Life Recovery Bible or not, but I'm going to send you one of those also. Anybody else? 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to, how about we go to Lori, Boston, Massachusetts is where she's calling from. Hi, Lori. WEZE is the station. Welcome. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you so much. I appreciate all you do. I'll get right into my question, please.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm under or overreacting based on my past history regarding safety of my grandchildren.
Okay.
Okay, what's going on?
Okay, it's much better than it used to be, but my son-in-law does pretty well with dealing with anger. He'll step away. He does pretty good, but the other day, his very active four-year-old was acting up in a restaurant, and he pushed his shoulder, pushed him back a little, and I could tell it was too rough, and it hurt his shoulder, and he sort of held on to his little shoulder. And I don't know what to do. Then yesterday, my daughter, who's wonderful but extremely overworked, after a 12-hour day, is cooking dinner while that same husband is out, you know, doing other things, and he's cooking dinner, and the seven-year-old comes in and says, the four-year-old is playing and keeps going in the street. They live on a really bad curve, and the fact that a mother would be inside and a four and a seven-year-old are outside in the front yard with no adults, I just don't understand. And so what do I do? I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's rough, because if this doesn't go well, then they're not going to let you see the kids. But these kids, they need an intervention, I think. What do you guys think? Is she overreacting? Or?
No, I think you're reacting like a caring grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And I would talk to your daughter, not to your son-in-law, and just say, I know you guys are busy and you're stressed, but sometimes I get worried about the safety of the kids, and I just want you to know that. Make the point, but don't elaborate on it, and don't give a lot of examples, because then that raises up defensiveness. Just share your concern and say, if I can help, I'm here to help. Whatever you need, just holler.
Yeah, don't make them bad.
No.
Like, because Dave was saying that makes them defensive. But I think you can also, like, empathize with your daughter about how hard she works and how there's so much to do. And you remember, as a young mom, it's hard to juggle it all, right? And that the idea of saying, you know, sweetie, if there's ever a time, you know, when you've got too much going on, I'd love to come over and just hang out with the kids and, you know, while you're making dinner, and I can just stay for an hour, you know, or I'll just be out in the yard with them, because it's a lot to manage. And, you know, in today's world, it's just, we have to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the other thing is, find a parenting class that's being held by a church or something, and then suggest that you would be happy to keep the kids if they wanted to go to this parenting class you heard about. That might help them to, you know, be able to deal with stuff.
You don't think that they would feel insulted?
I think they will. But I think that it might be better than reaching that point where one of these children is hit very, very inappropriately, and she's got to call Child Protective Services to do the next right thing.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I think you can also, sorry, Steve, you can also slough it off on yourself and say, you know, I'm older now, and so I have more time on my hands, and I worry. So you can chalk it up to me just being a worrier, but I'm just going to share it with you anyway.
Yeah.
Right? And then you can make your own decisions.
And if you've got a good relationship with your daughter, that should not be a problem.
I do.
Yeah, so it's, here's your worry wart mother again. You know, your kids are just so precious, so I just don't want anything to happen to them.
Well, talking with the daughter, that perhaps wouldn't be the time to talk about the four-year-old out there by herself, but it might be appropriate to talk about the concern about any kind of physical thing that might happen going forward. Because she's probably, I would think, a bit concerned about the same thing. Because she's probably seen what happens when he's not in public, and I have to believe that's worse than what you saw in public. That's usually the case. So I don't know. It's a touchy thing.
But you need people to intervene, because a mom cannot be everywhere. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, I mean,
start with the offer to help.
And
take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, too, just if you could just enter a dialogue into talking with her about her kids, how can you help, you're willing, you're, you know, that kind of thing, it might kind of ease her into a really good discussion about it versus being defensive. And boy, I tell you, these kids, you know, they, most kids in this day and age, you know, parents aren't vigilant enough in situations like this, and they really do need some training and some guidance. It's not the same world we lived in. And so I hope and pray your relationship with her leads to some good discussion and then a good outcome without, you know, her being defensive or thinking you're the enemy. You'll just have to play it by ear there. Very tough. All right, anything else you want to add to this, guys? I feel like, you know, we've got the weight of these children's future in
our
hands
here. It is hard, and it's hard to have a balanced approach, because I know there are parents that get really, you know, paranoid, and you don't want that either. But, you know, as a grandmother, you have to be on your knees for your grandkids. And I always prayed that anything my kids did, or if there was a problem, things would be exposed. And that would happen. Neighbors would drive by, friends would stop in, and they go, oh, your kid's doing this out in the yard. It's like, are you kidding me? So, you know, we need people around us too to
we really do all be
helping.
All right, so I'm going to send this book, How We Love, and the workbook, and the book that goes with it, How We Love Our Kids. And I'm hoping you'll look at it and you'll be able to say to her, hey, this was really helpful here, and maybe she would look at it, benefit from it. Anybody else, you can get those at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number to call. Let's go talk with James. He's calling from Portland, Maine. Hey, James, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. What can we help you with here?
I'm going through a really difficult time with my wife right now. We're okay. actually going through a divorce.
Oh. Wow.
We've
what
been
happened?
Separated for about 8 months. Okay. We got married pretty quickly after meeting, and things were really good for in the beginning and all, and then I stopped really having the passion and the love in our relationship, and I was smoking a lot, and we were both drinking a lot. Before we had gotten married, she had a really bad drinking issue that she was actually had a lot of health issues due to it. And so those all of those things kind of came to a head during our relationship, and we went on a vacation with her family, and during the trip her dad collapsed, and when we got back we went to the hospital and found out he had stage 4 lung and brain cancer.
Oh,
and
wow.
was given 3 months to live.
Oh wow.
How sad.
And so she left from where we were living in Florida. She moved from there to go up to take care
of
him.
Hold on. We'll be back right away.
On Friday night, we came, we got into an argument, and I sit in the car outside for 2 hours. I knew what the right thing to do was to go.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
You know, I know this stuff, but it's so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
I hear it, I read it, and I'm always getting in my own way. I'm always expecting my wife to go first.
Join Steve Arterburn.
We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
My biggest takeaway was to just get out of my way and go first.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Dave Stoop. So, James, she goes to take care of her father, and I guess he died, and then what happened?
Actually, it was right after she left. She was up there for about 2 weeks. Uh-huh. And she called me and said she was leaving me.
Okay.
And she started telling me things like she thought that us getting married was the reason God gave her dad cancer.
Oh boy.
And
wow.
And she, because we had gotten married against her parents' wishes, we'd gotten married without telling them.
Okay.
And it wasn't just my decision, it was a joint decision. We'd made the decision together.
Sure. Okay.
And then she started saying that, you know, it was because she disobeyed her parents that God had was taking her father away.
Because that's what God does. If you make a bad decision, he will kill somebody else. That just makes no sense. But anyway, go ahead. So what's the question for us?
Exactly.
This is a horrible situation.
That was her devastation, right?
Okay, what's your question for us?
My question is that, you know, after all of it happened, after her father passed away, she started becoming even more distant, because during that time she would call me and just cry to me on the phone and just wanted me to be there for her.
Right.
And now she's she's filed for divorce and says she doesn't love me, she never loved me, and that our entire marriage was a mistake. And I don't know if I'm just supposed to give in and give up and walk away, because at this point she doesn't even want to talk to me. We talk very, very rarely at this point. But for the last 8 months, you know, I've been there every day. I've done everything I can to be there for her, send her, you know, Bible verses, and I've changed my entire life around, not just, you know, I haven't just been sitting here waiting for her to come back to me. I've been changing my life by going to church and changing, you know, getting rid of smoking, drinking, pornography were things that I've struggled with for a time in my life as well, especially during our relationship. And these are all things that I've cast out of my life and, you know, I've really gotten myself on a good path and, you know, really trying to focus on how to treat my wife with the love that she deserves.
Let me ask you this. So what do you think are your options right now?
That's what I'm struggling with. Am I just supposed to walk away and say it's over?
Okay, so you have an option. You have an option to walk away. And what's the other option?
The other option is to keep trying to get things to work out, keep trying to reach out to her and getting her to. She said she won't do any counseling with me of any sort. I think it's because she kind of knows that if she does, she's going to have to look at a lot of things, you know, from herself in the relationship, which I don't bring up because that's not my place.
Yeah.
But
okay. So let's see what Jill and Dave think might be a good option here.
Well, James, I'm so sorry. I think in one of your communications with her, if you haven't already, I think you need to admit that it's true that you got married in the wrong way. You know, that it was wrong to not have the approval of her parents and to keep that a secret, and that both of you, where your life was at, you did not make a wise decision in how you approached that.
Yeah.
However, once you got married, you truly believe that God honored that vow, and now from every day forward, for you, it's your job to figure out how to choose her every day.
Mm-hmm.
And how to create being married or staying married for all the right reasons. And that divorce would be another
wrong decision.
Yeah, another wrong decision that isn't honoring to God. Mm-hmm. You can't force her hand, but to let her know that that's the way you're looking at it now. And that you understand in her grief, she's wanting to make things right with her dad, and you're just not sure that divorce makes things right for him.
Well, and you still have to deal with that false idea that she has, that God somehow punished her by taking her dad's life. God doesn't do that.
No.
And the whole thing of grace and mercy is outweighs all of those ideas. As long as she has that idea, it's pretty hard to make any kind of change of direction in her mind. So somehow you have to assure her that you don't buy that.
She didn't kill her dad.
She didn't kill her dad.
Right.
You guys together didn't kill her dad. And deal with that head on, because that's going to be the barrier for any kind of reconciliation.
That is your best hope. And the last thing that I would ever suggest that you do is take that option of, after all of this, to walk away now. Then it's just not the time. You persevere, and you do what you're wanting her to do. Persevere through all those weird, strange, tough, really, really horrible feelings there. Get some support. Keep doing what you're doing. I love what Jill said. Tell her, this is what I admit. This has been not good, but look what I'm doing here. And she can leave you and go marry somebody else, and they may do nothing ever to make things better. All right. I'm glad that you called. I'm going to send you. Do you have a Life Recovery Bible?
I do not, no.
Okay. It's coming with a workbook.
Because either way, God is using this to change both of your lives.
So sorry what you're going through. I'm really glad that you're seeing the things, and did see the things that you could do to make things better. And I'm hoping, I'll ask folks to pray that there would be some kind of dramatic radical change in her heart, and that that could change everything for both of them. We'll take this break. We'll come right back for more of New Life Live. Glad you're with us today here on New Life.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Last time Larry and I were on, we talked about Every Man's Battle. That was last weekend, and he told you about an amazing thing. Let me just read to you from Finding Freedom. We had a pastor come, and he said he confided in some other pastors and friends, and they knew that what he was going through, he was going to rise up and he was going to be a new man. And then he wrote this: I came here not knowing myself nor knowing what ailed me, but I was so focused on doing the work and being honest with myself and others. What I found was, as was advertised, truth, connection, and transformation. At every turn, truth was added to me, casting light where I had only known a fog. In every session, the sharing brought me out of my isolation and hiding, only to find it unbelievably safe. The result is God is opening me up, and I'm less afraid, less closed, less ashamed. I can get past this. I am getting past it now. That's what happens when people humble themselves, do whatever it takes, and he's getting it done. I'm so proud of him. And if you are struggling in some area, you could come, and we would help you. And we need your help helping others too. So, if you can, call us. We've got a special little one-time gift. It's a tote that's insulated. You can take the grocery store, keep stuff cold, hot, whatever. But it really can be a great, great tool. And it's got our logo on it. And you can tell people about it. So if you need it, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we'll send that little tote to you. My mom wants one.
All kinds of fun goodies.
She's a faithful supporter of all we do. We'll have Larry in a little bit, and he'll tell you about a couple other things here. But right now, let's go to... let's talk with Linda. She's a Club New Life member, Atlanta, Georgia. Hi there. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
My question is, what should I do now, or should I let this go? I believe my husband has sleep apnea. He holds his breath during the night and he snores, and I said, you know, you need to ask the doctor. So he asked the doctor, and he said, the doctor says many of us have some breathing, breath holding while we sleep at night. So when my husband saw that, he thought, great, I'm off the hook. You know, this happens to everybody, I'm fine. But the second piece of it was that the key to doing more depends upon the symptoms of daytime fatigue and drowsiness. And so he didn't see that, or he didn't acknowledge that. But if he sits down, he falls asleep. Mm-hmm. We go to a movie, he sleeps through most of the movie. Mm-hmm. He has coping skills to help him drive when he gets drowsy.
Yeah. So
I went to the dentist.
You know, yeah. So he's probably got the sleep apnea here. And a lot of guys are kind of embarrassed by that, or they don't like the hassle of thinking about a CPAP machine or something like that. And if you could.
Yeah, you know, what's his, is that his objection?
I don't know if he would say that out loud.
I don't think he even knows about this CPAP.
Okay, and Linda, have you counted how long he holds his breath, like for how many seconds?
Yes, and it's usually about 20 seconds, and then
okay,
he'll
because
wake himself up.
Usually anything over 15 would be concerning.
Right, and here's the thing. You know, Dr. Amon is on with us all the time, and he tells you, you are destroying your brain mm-hmm. by not getting it the oxygen that it needs. And so the sooner that he does something, absolutely the better. Is there a question, specific question, that we could answer for you?
Yes. I was at the dentist this week, and the dentist said, we've done some training, and when I asked, do you snore? And I said, you know, I sleep on my back, and I, when I do that, I wake myself up snoring. And he said, quick evaluation here, and scale of 1 to 4, 1's good, 4 is bad, I'm a 3. So I came home, and I told my husband, all this time I've been concerned about you, and I'm the one that, I have sleep apnea, so I'm going to go and get this evaluation. So I've said this, and
that's
you know,
good.
I know it's serious. So do I just let it go now and hope that he'll acknowledge that he needs to do something?
I would do whatever you need to do and let him see what it is, mm-hmm. and it'll be an educational, motivational thing for him. That's what I'd do.
But right, I would do that too, but then I would ask him, what does he object to? Why is he unwilling to help himself, because this can actually be life-threatening.
Right.
Right?
So your total willingness leads you to get it taken care of. So you find out, okay, so why wouldn't you have done
that? Yeah, what's the resistance to that?
It's like you're doing the advance work, and he needs to pay attention to what you're doing and find out that it's not that scary.
Right, and there's some people, you know, just don't like doctors. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or
men,
a lot of men don't think it's the macho thing to do, and they just don't want to deal with it. Or they're afraid to find out. But
it,
in a sense, you know, you're setting yourself up to, you know, leave your family behind sooner than necessary mm-hmm. if you do that.
Yeah, I had the problem, and I had a CPAP. I didn't use it a lot until I went to see Dr. Amon, and he said, strap that thing on. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just... It's just one of those,
and there's all
things.
Different kinds of apparatuses now,
right?
That work for different people.
But I really think her having this problem is mm-hmm. a bit of a blessing here, that she can kind of lead the way, and maybe that will lower some defensiveness on his part,
right.
Where she can say, you know,
it sounds like the doctor played along with his defensiveness and just never pressed the issue either.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really glad you called, and let me send you Take Your Life Back. I hope there's some helpful stuff in there on responding versus reacting here. And how about we talk with Judy, Knoxville, Tennessee is where she's calling from. WRJZ is the station. Hey, Judy, how are you?
Hello.
Hi.
I can barely hear you, my hearing aid. But anyway, I wanted to ask a question about. Well, I was raised an alcoholic, but my mother was abused, and I've been listening to your show, and then I married an abuser, and he would be so mean, and my children was affected, and they grew up to be very angry, and I'm not in that. He left with another woman, or I'd still be there, but I'm married to a wonderful man, but he sometimes, oh, by the way, we're coming to your marriage thing in Washington.
Wonderful.
Good.
I'm so grateful that's going to be happening. I recently lost my son, and I've been really uptight and upset easy because I just blow up at him. And so, and then he goes to work, and his boss will get pushy with him, and he's very passive. He usually doesn't argue about anything, and so his boss will push him to get things going, and he doesn't like that, but he'll come home and take it out on me. He'll get irritable with me.
Right.
And so then when he does that, I said, what's wrong with you? I said, I haven't said blah, blah, you know, and I don't know what to do, whether to say, let's separate, let's go to another room and calm down or something. I don't know what to do.
So, Judy, you're his safe person. And I wonder when he starts being irritable, if you can lean into him, maybe put your hand on his shoulder or his arm and say, tell me what happened today at work. You want to sit a minute and talk?
Right.
And see if you can get him to.
Sometimes I said, well, Greg's been. I even called his work one time, and I said, I want to know what's going on. I said, my husband's coming home, and he's so upset about it. And he told me some of the things that happened, and so Greg would say, this and this. And so anyway, he would tell me, and it would be stressful, and he took away his help that he needed, and he couldn't do it. It was impossible. But anyway, so Greg would finally calm down with him, because I told him, I got mad at my husband. I said, you're going to the upper wheels. You know all those people, and you've been there longer than he has, and you're going to go tell what's going on, and you're going to get something done about it. And so he did. And so then the next time he came home, he said something. I could tell he was irritable. I said, now what happened last time? I said, you know not to be back down from him, because you know he knows now that you'll go to the top one. And that's what I do. I just do that. Well, but maybe that's not right, like you said.
Well, I think Jill's got a great strategy for you. And was your husband upset that you had called his work like that or not?
No, he likes for me to step in for him. He don't want to do it himself.
So it's hard for him to assert himself.
Yeah. Well, you know, you are his safe place. And then with the loss of your son,
you know,
his safe place had some other emotional things going on. And so I'd say when you lose a child and what you guys are going through, you're kind of right on schedule here.
You
expect it.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to
fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and here's Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, what do you want to share with us on this fine day?
Steve, I just want to encourage folks to sign up for Club New Life, and I want to thank those who already have. We are asking for at least 6 people a day to sign up for Club New Life, and May has started off much better than April. We're not quite to 6 a day, but I think folks can do it. And the reason we ask it is because that giving makes all the difference in the world in people's lives. That's why we want you to give. We've talked about workshops recently on the radio about that. Our counseling network, our books and CDs, there's so much. Our radio program, I mean, there's so much help that people get, and that we can't do it without the financial support.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The thank you gift. You want to run down that list, Steve?
Well, it's 8 books. It's our best of the best library here, and it's How We Love by Mylon K. Yurkovich, Changes That Heal by John and Henry Cloud, Boundaries by John and Henry, Healing is a Choice by Steve, Intimate Deception, Sherry Keffer, Forgiving What You Never Forget, Dr. Dave Stoop, Every Man's Battle, Fred Stoker and Steve Arterburn, Secrets Women Keep by Dr. Jill Hubbard. I mean, this is so valuable, and if you have these books, support us and give them to your church. It is such a powerful, healing library, and we're just thrilled that we were able to pull this together and share it with you, and I hope that you'll get it. It's just our way of saying thank you, and I have to say, it's really the best, most fabulous thank you we've ever done. I love it.
And those books, if you went to buy them, they'd be $129. If you're a current Club New Life member, if you would increase your giving $10 a month, we'll send you those books.
Yeah.
So thank
we
you.
Need your help a lot. And so you call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE and become part of the New Life giving family. And then every time you hear somebody's life is changed and transformed, you're part of that. You're a big, big part of that. All right. Well, anything else you guys want to say for Judy there before we go?
I would set up a new ritual where when he comes home, you guys sit down for 10, 20 minutes and you talk about what went on during the day. You don't try to solve problems unless it's obvious, and you just want to listen and hear each other's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Make that a everyday
kind of a debriefing
event.
Right?
Debrief. That's a good
before
idea.
Before he has a chance to be irritable,
mm-hmm.
she's
mm-hmm.
sitting down with him, and she's not jumping in and fixing things
and
right away.
And you share your day and what you
yes.
struggled with, and he listens, and it's a listening exercise as well as a talking, unloading exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you need to say to each other, hey, you know, in this world, we're all we've got here. So let's try to make the best of it for each other. And now you just tell me how your day went and tell me what's going on, and then I'll share with you. And that just becomes such a healing time of connection. Amazing what eyeballs do when they're focused on somebody else's eyeballs. That's what my wife has taught me, and it is invaluable. All right. Really glad that you called. Now, how about we talk with Jenny from Denver, Colorado. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. How are you? Good.
Great.
I just love, love, love your program. You all have the wisdom of Solomon.
Thank you. Appreciate that. How could we help today?
Anyway, my question is, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. How could we help?
My question is, what's the normal amount of time before we start EMDR treatment? I've been going to a counselor for 2 months once a week, and we're still working on the history. Is that pretty much the norm?
What do you think, Jill? You think that's
normal? Well, I think that every therapist, you know, works things a little differently. And I would be talking to your therapist and ask, I mean, have you asked her or him the question?
Yeah, it's her, and she said it's, she has to follow protocol, and I let her know I'm getting a little bit worse every week because I'm not impatient. I'm just needing, I'm kind of circling the drain here. I was in a 5-year relationship with a narcissist, and I didn't see him for 6 months, and about 2 weeks ago he hoovered again. He came by, but I did not answer the door. But I'm needing to get better before, so I can be strong when he does show up.
Right, right.
Well, you know, what I would do is I would tell her you're really wanting to move forward, and if that means maybe putting a couple of sessions together to get protocol done, maybe that's the way you can move down the road sooner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think because, you know, all therapy is not just a cookie-cutter approach. It has to be tailor-made, individualized to what the need is. And if someone's in a little more crisis situation and feeling a greater sense of urgency, part of it is to help contain that. And I don't know if your therapist is doing the EMDR or if she is having someone else do it in conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's the case, perhaps that could be on board simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do know that you're kind of, if something doesn't happen pretty soon, then I would really wonder if I'm with the right person, if she can't explain fully why you're not ready to move into it. You should be either moving into it or confident that there's a good reason and rationale.
Yeah, and to understand the protocol. Is this part of the protocol of how she leads into EMDR?
That may be unique to her.
I know that some people, depending on how they've been trained.
Yeah, I was trained in it, and I didn't see the protocol as being that extensive.
Right.
Right.
And so I think here again, you have the right to say, can you tell me what that protocol requires beyond what we have done? I just think.
Yeah. You're paying for this, Jenny.
Yeah.
So you have a right to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And you want to be with somebody that hears you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the therapist, the therapist, you know, knows what works and they've been trained. But if you don't hear the client and where they're at and you don't feel heard, then there's a disconnect there.
Mm-hmm. I told you about that therapist I went to, and she just pulled her chair up in front of me and just looked at me and waited for me to say something. And that just didn't work for me. It just wasn't the approach. I need a little more
There's
help.
There's all here. Different so, kinds of approaches.
Yeah, all different kinds. All right. I'm glad that you called us and I'd love to send you a copy of Forgiving What We Never Forget by Dr. Dave Stoop. It is part of that library that we're sending out when somebody says, I can support you joining Club New Life, $30 a month, and it's an amazing library. Also, don't forget, a gift of any amount, we'll send you this really nice insulated tote that you can tote to the grocery store and keep the cold stuff cold, the hot stuff hot, and it knows how to tell the difference. It's just amazing how it does.
But it can't do both at the same time.
Can't do it at the same time. So anyway, that's our way of saying thank you for a gift of any amount. And don't forget that $100 fabulous T-shirt with New Life logo and on there that says, I saved a person's life. And when you give $100, we're going to put it towards saving a person's life. I saved a person's life, and all I got was this T-shirt and an awful lot of satisfaction. That's our gift.
That T-shirt's going to be a collector's item someday, so I want to make sure I get one.
I hope so. Very overpriced but undervalued because of what that money goes to. We love you, we care about you, and we want to help you. We have these amazing intensive workshops, and they seem like, well, maybe I don't need it, but oh my goodness, when you go, things happen you never dreamed would happen in such a short length of time. So please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Maybe it's just a counselor or a book. We'll help you. That's what they're there for at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're going to see you here tomorrow for more of New Life Live. God bless you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.